All right. Well, it's good to see everyone this morning on this cold, somewhat icy day. It wasn't as bad as maybe what we kind of expected for this morning. So praise the Lord for that. It's good to have everyone with us this morning. And it's good to be in God's house this morning. Our lesson this morning will be in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 will be our lesson this morning. And we're just going to look at a few verses out of the chapter. The chapter is going to be 18 verses long, but we're not going to go through the entire chapter. We're going to hit some of the highlights of the chapter and kind of discuss a little bit some of the difficulties that Paul found in his life, that he some of the struggles that maybe he had in his life. He's going to share some of those with us, and we'll look at those this morning. We'll have a word of prayer to begin. And ask for the Lord's blessings upon our day. So let's do pray together. Heavenly Father, we, Lord, once again, thank you for this time that we have, that we've come together for the next few moments. And Lord, as we take and open up your word, as we look at the life of Paul, and as we find in this chapter some of the struggles that he had in his life, and Lord, how he took those struggles and how he confronted them, and how he would overcome some of the struggles that he had in his life. And Lord, help us to learn and grow from that. And Lord, help us to realize the same principles that Paul applied in his life, Lord, will work in our life in this day as well. And Lord, we do pray for many in our church who, Lord, I'm sure are sick this morning, that may have a loved one that's sick or maybe in the hospital. We do pray for those who have physical needs this morning that you would take and, Lord, heal them. And Lord, we pray that you would give the healing in their life that they are in need of this morning. Lord, we also pray for our church and the ministries of our church. We pray for the school ministry as well and others. We just pray that you would help supply the needs there. We pray for our missionaries today. We uplift them and, Lord, ask once again that you would bless them, that you would help them and comfort them. And, Lord, we do pray that you would give them fruit for their labors today. And, Lord, we pray that you give encouragement to their heart today as well. We pray for our nation. We pray for the leadership of our country. We pray, Lord, for, Lord, the need that we have as a nation. We need a spiritual revival to take place, and we, Lord, pray for that this morning as well. We pray for Brother Richardson, that you would bless him, that you would speak through him today. And, Lord, I pray that you help us to open up our hearts and minds to what you have for us today. We pray for a blessing upon this time and this place today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, and we are in the book of 2 Corinthians, and we'll be in this book for several weeks to come. Chapter 3 is our lesson today, and just kind of lay a little bit of a foundation. We'll get right into our lesson this morning. Paul is revealing in this chapter some of the struggles that he had in his life. You know, often we can read the Bible and we can read about Paul and the great ministry and how he was used so greatly of God, but you'll find that he also had struggles. Life wasn't always easy for Paul. The ministry wasn't always easy for Paul, and he's going to reveal a little bit that, of that to us this morning. One of the difficulties that Paul faced in life, and it did bother him, it didn't stop him from doing what he knew he ought to do, but one of the struggles that Paul has in his life is that not everyone liked Paul. Paul found that the more he preached the word of God, the more enemies that he had. The longer he was in the ministry, the more enemies that would come out against him. And because of that, I think it did bother him to a degree. No one in life likes to be disliked. Everybody wants to be liked. In fact, sometimes that's to our disadvantage. There are times when we may try to fit in a little bit too much sometimes. Young people, especially teenagers, struggle with that. A lot of peer pressure on teenagers to try to fit in and be like everybody else. Now, when everybody else is going down the wrong road and the wrong path, that can be some very difficult, trying times for teenagers sometimes. But adults, same way. We want to be liked. And as in the ministry of God, you take any preacher, I'm sure Brother Richardson doesn't want to be disliked. He doesn't want to have enemies. And he wants to be liked and to be accepted by people. But as a believer, there's going to be many times where we're not going to fit in. And you're not going to be light because of your stand, because of the life that you live, and because of the message that you preach and the message that you may believe is going to bring some enemies. And Paul finds himself in this situation where there are a lot of people that do not like him. And he had many enemies. He had many enemies for many different reasons, but primarily his biggest enemies came from what he preached. He preached salvation through Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. And that's going to create a lot of problems with a lot of people who do not believe that message. And, you know, because of even what we preach today, there's going to be people that disagree with us. Because of the stand that we take. And in this chapter, you'll find that Paul finds himself having to defend yet once again his position. He has to defend his message. And because he was disliked, that he had many enemies because of the stand that he took. He had many enemies in life because of the message that he would preach. And then also he had many enemies because of the style of the way he would deliver that message. Paul, in many ways, he was very straightforward. He was not apologetic. He wouldn't try to sugarcoat anything, and you'll find he's going to make some statements about that in this chapter as well. Because of that, there were people that just didn't like him. And there were many people that would actually defend a different position on salvation. There were many in that day that would kind of defer from Paul. And they were preaching that a person had to keep the law in order to be saved. And that was a big issue in that day, that Paul was the opposite of keeping the law. Paul would preach that the law can't save you, but there were others that were preaching in order to be saved, you had to keep the law. So there's this battle that rages among them. In many ways, the message of salvation is still debated much even in the day and age that we live in. There are some people that believe that in order to be saved, it is a works salvation. There's something that you do in order to be saved. There are some that believe that in works salvation, there are some that believe that you must be baptized. And you have to be baptized in their denomination, in their church, in order to be saved. There are others that believe that you have to be of the Catholic faith or something of that nature, or some may believe that you have to be of whatever faith they are in order to be saved. And that's not true. Salvation comes only through Jesus Christ and him alone. And Paul is going to drive that wedge between him and others of that day, knowing that it's going to create a lot of enemies and a lot more that will come out against him, but yet Paul stands by what he preaches here. And that's what is basically taking place in this chapter here. And basically the chapter, you can kind of sum it up, it is in chapter number 3 here, you'll find that it's a battle over the law versus the grace. So it's a battle between law and grace. Paul's going to define both of them and reveal unto them that a person is saved by the grace of God. It's not the law. The law's never saved anybody. And we'll get into that here in just a moment. Having to defend his position was not something that I think Paul actually enjoyed. Sometimes I feel like Paul felt like that him having to go back and hammer it over and over again sometimes was a little irritating because he wanted to move past that. And sometimes he felt like he was always having to defend himself. But, you know, that's part of the ministry. I mean, in the day and age that we live in, you're going to have to defend your position. People are going to question, why do you believe that? Why do you do that? Why do you practice that? Why do you teach that? Why do you preach that? And that's okay. Sometimes it may get irritating, and sometimes it may rub us a little bit wrong, or we may feel like, you know, a little uneasy because we're having to defend something. But, you know, we ought to live this life for Christ and purposely live this life based on what we believe, and what we believe ought to be based on the Word of God. It's not something that, you know, it should never be that somebody asks you, why do you believe that? And you say, well, I really don't know. That's just what our church believes. You know, that's not good enough. That's not a good answer. The correct answer is, this is what God's Word says. You know, it's hard for people to debate, this is what God's Word says. But there are so many people that even today that will tell you why they believe what they believe, because that's just what they're taught, that's what their church teaches. You know, man is still man. You don't base your eternal salvation on what man says. You base your eternal salvation on what does God say. And so that's what Paul's going to do in this chapter, and we'll look at it here. You'll find in chapter 3, verse number 1, I'm going to skip some verses through the chapter here, but you'll find in verse number 1, he says, "Do we begin again?" And that's why I kind of read verse number 1, and I feel like sometimes it's Paul basically saying, you mean I've got to go through this again? I've got to teach this again. I've got to give it once again. And I kind of take from it a little bit that maybe Paul is a little weary of having to go back and give the same message over and over and over again. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong in the life of Paul, but I'm going to say this morning with us, it ought never offend us to have to give the message once again. Because people have distorted mind thoughts. People have different ideas. People are taught something that maybe was wrong all their life. And when people legitimately question us, it ought not to irritate us. It ought not make us mad. We'll be glad to share the simple plan of salvation to anyone who asks. But Paul here, and I understand, there are many times in his ministry where he wants to kind of get beyond this and move on to some more ground or something else that maybe something could be new that he could give. But he asks here, in verse number 1, do we begin again? So do I have to do it again is what he's asked. He's basically asking, do I have to start over again? You know, we need to get past the starting stage and get a little further down through the race here. But Paul finds in his ministry that he's always having to go back to the starting position of what salvation is. And nothing's going to change about that. That's the whole focal point of our ministry. The whole purpose of this church this morning is the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You take the saving grace and the salvation that Jesus Christ offers, and if we remove that out of this ministry, you don't have a ministry anymore. That is the central theme, and should be in everything that we do, is Jesus Christ can save a lost person. That ought to be the focal point of all of our ministry. You're going to find yourself having to reinstate your standing often. People are going to ask, why do you believe that? And we ought to have an answer for that. We ought to know why we believe what we believe. And if you don't know why you believe what you believe, you need to go back and study and find the principles and the doctrines and the teachings of God's Word to back up why you believe what you believe. So you'll find there's a lot of people that believe a lot of different things in life. And a lot of what people believe in life is wrong, and it can't be backed up by God's Word. And we've got to be able to back it up with God's Word, and that's what Paul is going to deal with in this chapter here. Let me skip down here. Chapter 3, let me go down here. You'll find in verse number 4 and 5 that Paul is going to kind of tell you why he believes what he believes. Paul is going to tell you where he gets his confidence in life. That's very important. God's people must have confidence when you go out into the world that you have the answer for the world's problems. Now, the world's problem is going to be they're lost and they're undone and they're on their way to hell. They need to be saved. They don't know how that works. They don't know how to be saved. And we've got to be able to give them an answer of the salvation problem that this world has. And the salvation answer is Jesus Christ. Paul tells you in verse number 4, he says, "And such trust have we through Christ to Godward." And you'll find in verse number 5, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves." But he tells you the answer and the reason he has confidence, the reason he can take the stand that he takes, is because of God. God is his confidence. God is the reason that Paul can go out and preach the gospel to a people that he even knows at times doesn't even agree with him. That many times people do not like him. That many times Paul's life was even threatened because of what he preached. And Paul says that he has confidence. I have confidence in what I'm teaching. He says, I have confidence of what I've based my ministry on because it's all based on God. So Paul reveals here that he has confidence, and his confidence comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our confidence. You know, the confidence of this church this morning ought to be that our confidence at Grace Baptist Church ought to be in the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power unto salvation. And I'm afraid that we live in a day and age where a lot of preachers and a lot of churches have drifted from this doctrine. There are many churches that have confidence in their marketing skills, or they have confidence in some programs that they have in the church. And programs aren't bad as long as they're based on the gospel of Jesus Christ. But listen, our confidence this morning ought to be in the gospel of Jesus Christ. May I remind you that the word of God is still sharper than any what? Two-edged what? Two-edged sword. Guess what? That doctrine has not changed. You see, the power to change the world is in the word of God. Not in a program, not in marketing skills, not in advertisements. It's not in building family life centers and gymnasiums and those aren't always bad, but I think that many churches today have gotten away from the importance of making sure the central theme of the ministry is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've got to remind ourselves every single day that we get up and go into this world that we ought to step out of our homes every day with the confidence that God is with us, God is helping us, and that the power that we can use as we battle this world is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of God, which is sharper than in any two-edged sword. That is our confidence this morning. And Paul says, it's not about me. Paul is saying, it's not that I'm supernatural. It's not that I have some special ability. It's not that I have some divine strength in my own self. He says, my strength and my confidence is in God, and it's in the message that I'm giving the people. And his message was a message of grace, not a message of the law. On the other hand, there were people, false teachers and false preachers in that day, that were teaching and preaching and telling people that you are saved by keeping of the law. We've got to make sure that we understand, and we'll get to it here just a little bit this morning, the law has never saved anybody. Never has. Because we have found, and even God's word reveals, that there's not a man alive except one that's ever kept the law, and that one was Jesus Christ. You can't keep the law. You'll fall, you'll come up short. You say, well, I can keep about 90% of it. Well, 90% is not good enough. You'll go back and you study the law. It's either 100% or none. You can't fall at any part of it. You can't fail at any point of the law. If you fail at any point, and by the way, you take the law, the result of the law, if you fall short in any of the law, the penalty was death. And if you lived your life thinking the law saved you, but yet you came up short, and because the penalty was death, guess what? You'll die and go to hell. And Paul was very straightforward. Paul was very bold in his message, and some did not like it because Paul was so bold, but that is revealed in this chapter as well, and I'm kind of skipping through the chapter here, but listen, here's what I want to make sure we all understand this morning. Our confidence this morning ought not to be in our church in our ability, in our special skills, or I'm a good communicator. Hey, our confidence is not in any of that this morning. Our confidence is in the salvation through Jesus Christ. Paul says, my confidence when I go out, how do I do this? How do I go back and repeat this message over and over and over? Even though Paul knew there were many, especially Jews, that were blinded, and he reveals that here. He even knows that he's going to preach to many who is not going to believe what he preaches. But Paul says, let me tell you how I do it every single day. It's by God and the grace of God and the confidence that I have in the message that I'm going to give them. Paul didn't doubt anything he preached. You know, I've met some people before that I felt like they kind of even doubted what they preached sometimes. Paul never doubted the message. Paul had confidence in the message of Jesus Christ. You'll find in verse number, let's go to verse number 6. He says here, who also hath made us, look at this, able ministers. You see, this morning, what makes you able is God. Brother Richardson, you went to college. You went to Springfield College, correct? All right. And is that what makes him able? No. Now, going to college is a good thing. It can give you some helps. It can help mold you in a lot of different ways and help you understand maybe some things and so forth, but I don't care where you go to college. I don't care what kind of degree you have on your wall. That does not make you an able minister. Tell you what makes you able? It's God. It's going to shock, you know, there are a lot of churches that would never ask a pastor to come or a man to come pastor their church unless they had a college education. College education doesn't make you anything. Look at verse number 6 here. Paul says here, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. What made him a able minister? He's talking about God. You go back to verse 4 and 5, he's talking about it's God that gives him the confidence. It's God that gives him the strength. It's God that makes him able. Now, let me make sure you understand something very, very careful this morning as well. You're just as able as Paul. Just as able. If you're a child of God this morning, you have exactly what you need to be an able minister of the New Testament. You say, well, I could never do that. Sure you can. Well, I could never witness to someone. Sure you can. You have everything that you need as and Paul says right here that it's God that makes us able here. You can be a minister of Christ, and you can be I guess I could word it this way. You have what it takes this morning. If you're a child of God, you have what it takes this morning to be an able gospel minister of Jesus Christ. And God will make you able. You see, Paul had a lot of critics. They taught that the law of Moses is what was necessary for salvation. Paul contradicted them. Paul went against the flow. Paul went against the majority. Paul went against almost the world at times, so to speak, if you would, with his message of salvation through Jesus Christ. And he confronted that. And the reason he was able to accomplish that is because God made him able. You'll find in verse number 7, he talks and speaks of the old covenant as a ministration of death, you'll find here in verse number 7. Why does he use the word death there? Death was the penalty of breaking God's laws. Now we can go all the way back to Moses. He'll use Moses' name here. You can go back to the Ten Commandments. If you remember, it was Moses that went up on the top of the mountain. It was God that gave Moses the tablet of the Ten Commandments. There were actually two different sets, if you remember. The first set of the Ten Commandments was written in stone. Does anybody remember by whom? Who wrote the first Ten Commandments? Anybody know? God. If you go back and you'll study the finger of God engraved the Ten Commandments on stone. Now, I can remember as a child a teacher telling this story one day about, and he was describing the very finger of God and it engraving the Ten Commandments in these tablets of stone. And you have a picture in your mind, you know, it's a big tablet, it's oval at the top, and I don't know if that's true or not. That's why I kind of picture it in my mind, and God writing the Ten Commandments on the stone. Now, my little mind, as even a child, always thought, I wonder what the handwriting of God looked like. I don't have good handwriting. You know, some of you probably have excellent handwriting, and I can't read half of mine. But I wonder, you know, what does his handwriting look like? Can you imagine being Moses and actually testifying and watching God write the Ten Commandments on a tablet of stone? Pretty amazing. Then we can go through the Ten Commandments. We've done that, I think, in Sunday school before. I think we did some study, did we not, at one time on the Ten Commandments a little bit. We could go through all the different commandments and what they mean and so forth, and they're pretty straightforward. They're easy to understand. But you remember how that Moses takes those Ten Commandments and he leaves the mountain, he gets down, finds out everybody in the world's in wickedness, and he's very upset and mad and he's angry, and he breaks those tablets. You remember that. He rewrites those and so forth. But Paul here is referring back to the law of Moses, and how that you've got these false preachers and false teachers that dislike Paul, and they're teaching you got to keep the law, and if you don't keep the law 100%, then the penalty of that is death, and that's why he's referring to the word death in verse number 7. Now, Paul was totally opposite. You see, Paul comes along, he preaches a message of salvation through Jesus Christ. He preaches a message of life through Jesus Christ. They're actually preaching a message of death according to the law. You see, Paul's message was the total opposite of what his critics were given. You know, the problem with the law is that it didn't have power to save anybody. The problem with the law is nobody could keep it. And the law, you know, the law was actually given, if you really want to really get specific, and this is just my opinion, I guess, and it's not worth much. The law was given to show everyone, number one, you can't keep it. Number two, it reveals that, you know what we are? We are a sinner because we can't keep the law. It also reveals a third thing to me is, because I can't keep the law, because of that, it makes me now a sinner. And thirdly, it makes me realize I need help. I need a Savior. That Savior is Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul's preaching. And Paul struggles a little bit in the ministry. And I don't want to paint it as he's, you know, he's really struggling. He's not going to make it. Paul makes it just fine. But you can read this chapter and realize Paul is just showing you he's human like everybody else. It's not fun to be disliked. It's not fun being hated by a lot of people. It's not fun when you have other people all over town that are preaching about you every single Sunday and what you preach and how that you're wrong and you're the false prophet. What they're given is salvation through the law, and they're right. And this other guy, Paul, he's wrong, and he is the topic of communication in the communities that he goes into. That's got to be tough. It's going to be tough when everybody else in town is preaching the message all about what you preach. And he has to defend himself over and over and over and over. And he has to go back and teach it once again, because people would distort what he would preach. And they would take just different pieces out of his message and try to distort it and try to rewrite and say what he said, and he didn't really say that. And so he's battling all this in the ministry, and it does weigh on him to a degree. And he's revealing that in this chapter here, and he's not just that. He's not dwelling on his struggles a little bit, because he goes in depth here in this chapter trying to make sure you understand he's just fine, because you know what? He's able to continue because of what God does through him. You'll find, look at verse number 12. He says, verse number 12, seeing that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. What Paul is saying here, he is confronting another one of his critics. He had a lot of critics that didn't like his style. You're too hard. You're too straightforward. And Paul says here that he was proud that in his ministry he was very plainly spoken. He's very bold in what he had to say. And sometimes that's very needed. I promise you, you take every teacher in our Christian school this morning and you ask them, there are times when they may say something in a way and in a tone of their speech where every child in that class knows they mean business. You know what I'm saying? And it's because of the way they say it. Use an illustration of that situation the other night on a ball trip. We went to eat at a place, and I had one young boy that I had to get on to. But when I got done, it won't never happen again. And I wasn't trying to be ugly, but I made sure that young boy knew, and he knew that day when I got done with him, he knew, you ever do that again, you'll never ride this bus ever again. Do you understand me? And it was, yes, sir. And I bet you, if I were a betting man this morning, I bet it doesn't ever happen again. What is that? That's being bold, it's being straightforward, it's being right to the point. That's what Paul is saying here in verse number 12. Paul, even though he was criticized, he never changed this about his ministry. Paul was the kind of guy, when Paul gets done with the message, you know exactly where he stands. You know exactly his position. You know exactly where he's going. You know exactly what he's going to do. You know how he's going to do it. He was very open. And when he got done with his message, You had no question about where he stood. That's a problem sometimes in the world we live in. There's too many churches and too many ministers and too many preachers in our day that just straddle the fence, and people leave and you don't know where they stand. And you know, when it comes down to it, it really doesn't matter where that individual may stand. Our standing, where we stand, all to be based on God's word. And that's what Paul is saying. And he even admits in verse number 12, and the reason you find verse number 12 is they were criticizing him because he was so straightforward and so bold into saying that salvation is through Jesus Christ and him alone. It is by the grace of God that you are saved. And he had confidence in that message, and he was bold in that message, and there were people that didn't like that. And Paul even admits here in verse number 12 that he used plainness of speech. The lost world needs to know why they're lost. And boy, it's hard to find preachers today that would just tell the world why you're lost. You go home today and you watch churches on television, or you watch TBN and all the other religious broadcasts and so forth, and you watch that all day, and you'll come out of that wondering, where do they even stand? I mean, it's hard to find preachers today that would just tell the world why they are lost. And the reason they're lost is they are a sinner without a Savior. And not only does lost people need to know why they're lost, they need to know what they need to do to be saved. And it's hard to find preachers on television and big name ministries and so forth that will be honest enough to tell the world why you're lost and what you need to do to be saved. I mean, when Paul's finished with his message, they knew why they were lost, and they know exactly what they have to do in order to be saved. There was no doubting. Paul was very plain in how he gave that message. You know, and when you really think about it, you take the salvation plan according to God's word, it's not complicated. You know, God's word even describes it that even a child can understand. It's not a difficult process. It's not something that's hard to do. It's not a difficult plan. But boy, how many times do people come along and they make it so complicated? Salvation is, and I don't, you know, sometimes you get criticized if you say salvation is easy. I guess for me as a saved person, for me as someone who grew up in a Christian home all their life, I look at salvation as something that to me, it's a no-brainer, I guess. It comes easy to me. But, you know, I have to kind of understand there are lost people that didn't grow up in church and they didn't grow up in a Christian home. And you know what? Salvation's not as easy for them. And I don't know if easy is a good word for us to use. I'm just kind of basing it a little bit on my own testimony and so forth. You know, some people really struggle with accepting Jesus Christ and putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I look at it and say, how could you not? I mean, Brother Richardson sent out a text that Brother Hag's father was saved this week. Friday? Is it Friday? He's 80 years old, I think. Brother Hag told me the other day, Miss Hag was telling me, and she was kind of a little upset. You know, he was very hardened, and she would try to say something, and he'd put his hands over his ears and go, I don't want to hear it, and all that. And I mean, you're an 80-year-old man. My question would be this, and it may not be the right question, but my question would be, what do you have to lose? But it's hard for me to comprehend. My mind can't comprehend that because I didn't grow up like that. But Paul, you'll find here in verse number 12, he said, man, I'm going to make it so plain, and I'm trying to make it as simple and easy, if you want to use that word. I guess I would have used the word plain because that's the words that Paul uses. He said, I'm trying to make sure the message is so plain that when I get done with this message and I walk away from you, you're going to know exactly what I believe. And I believe what I believe based on the Word of God. I have confidence in it. I'm able to give this, and I'll tell you why I'm able to give it, because I have complete and total confidence in the message that I'm giving unto you, that I'm going to make it so plain, it's going to be so hard for you to refuse the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, does everybody get saved? No. Not all. There were many that did not. Most of them were Jews that refused to accept that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ and only through Jesus Christ. But Paul here is going to use this plainness of speech. He's going to say it in a way that you know exactly what he means, and you know he means business about it. You'll find in verse number 14, but their minds were blind. A great preacher, a great minister that Paul was, could preach a bombastic message that was very bold, very straightforward, very plain, and yet there were many that would walk away blinded to the truth. You see, this morning we can't save anybody. I can't make anybody get saved. All that I can is a minister of the gospel, which you are the same as well, just tell them what the Bible says. And they have to decide whether or not to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There were many in Paul's days that did not believe. Do you know what that does to Paul? It bothers Paul. You see, Paul looks at it and says, I don't understand. I try to make it plain. I try to make it bold. I have complete confidence in this message. And Paul says, I don't understand how you can't accept it like I've accepted it. You ever think that way in life? I mean, how come there's people, how can someone refuse the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? When you know what you know, I mean, it's almost like you want to grab someone, shake them a little bit, and make them get saved. You can't make them get saved. And Paul even admits here in verse number 14, but their minds were blinded. You see, they were blinded. And by the way, let me say this. It doesn't mean that Jewish people can't be saved. It's just in that day, and even in the day we live in, a lot of Jewish people just will not believe. And they're blind. That weighs heavy on Paul. And I'm kind of reading between the lines, but I can imagine Paul thinks to himself, after all that I go through and all the struggles of the ministry and all that I struggle with and the hardships of going from place to place and all the journeys that he takes and the travel and how difficult that was in his life and to be hated by so many and have so many critics and so many people would take what he would preach and they would go out and preach the direct opposite. They didn't preach salvation through Jesus Christ. They preached salvation comes through by living the law and abiding by the law. And then Paul reveals here, verse number 14, but their minds were blinded. You know, this morning, it doesn't matter how many people refuse. It doesn't mean we stop. It doesn't mean we give up. We don't ever get to the point where we say it's no use. They're not going to listen anyway. You take this world that we live in. It's easy sometimes to become very, very critical and say, what difference does it make? They're not going to listen. Nobody wants to be saved. Nobody wants to hear anymore. Well, that's where Paul was at. Paul said that here I am. He starts off in the chapter here in verse number 1 of chapter 3, and he says, do we have to begin again? And guess what? He had to begin again. Do it all over. Give it once again. Share the message with everyone again. Go through all that, knowing that it's probably going to create more enemies. There's going to be more critics. They're going to dislike me. They don't like my style. They don't like my boldness. They don't like my plainness of speech, but he still does all of it. He's got confidence. He's well able because God's given him the ability. Do all that. And in verse 14, he says, but their minds were blind. You see, this morning, we don't get to pick and choose who we give the message to. Because there's going to be times that, guess what? You're going to give the message to someone and they're not going to believe. And they're not going to like your message. They don't want to hear what you have to say. They're going to put their hands over their ears and just la, 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 la. They don't want to hear. But guess what? It still needs and must be given. You'll find in verse 15, it's interesting, in verse 14 it says, but their minds were blinded. Verse 15 says, but even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. And he talks about how that there are going to be times when he says, I give the gospel and the gospel is given and one's heart is turned unto the Lord, Jesus Christ, in faith. And guess what happens? That veil is lifted at times in people's hearts. Not all of them get saved, Paul says, but you know what? Every now and then there are some that get saved. What a glorious time it is when you find someone who actually listens to your message. You know, don't you think Paul got a little bit tired of just preaching and preaching and preaching and people blinded and people didn't want to hear and knowing there's probably somebody in the crowd taking notes and they're going to use it against him afterwards and they're going to preach the direct opposite of him and they're going to lead people down a false doctrine, down a false path? And I mean, don't you think after a while that kind of weighs a little bit on Paul? And that's what Paul is saying in this chapter. And it could be all doom and gloom if he ended the chapter with verse number 14, but you'll find he ends it in verse 15, 16, 17, and 18, and you'll find that he says, but you know what? There are some glorious days in the ministry where I go out and I preach the very same message. I don't change it any. And it's like a veil lifted upon their heart and they open up their heart to Jesus Christ and they turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation and they trust him. You know, salvation is a wondrous gift is what he's saying. Paul says there's some days like that. Now, I don't know what the percentage is in the life of Paul and I don't know if there's more days where people trust Christ or if there's more days that people reject Christ in his life. But you know what Paul decided? He said, you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to just keep on keeping up. You know what I think I'll do? I think I'll go out and preach the same message, have the same confidence, be just as bold as ever, and I'll give it as plain as I possibly can. And Paul says there's going to be some that reject, but boy, there's going to be some that are going to receive. And that one that receives, I'm sure, excites Paul just like it was when the first person received. And Paul just decides, you know what I think? I think I'll just keep on keeping on. He's just revealing a little bit of his heart in chapter number 3 in his life and some of the struggles that he had. And it is a struggle as a believer sometimes to give the message and they reject it. We don't like rejection. Of course, the Word of God tells us they're not rejecting us, they're rejecting Jesus Christ. But still, we want everybody to believe. But we'll leave this building today knowing and having confidence. I don't have confidence that everybody's going to turn and trust Christ, but I just have confidence that this is the right message. And I think I'm just going to keep on giving what I know is right. And that's what Paul is saying. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for our time. And God, we pray for the message this morning. And Lord, this day that we have, we just pray for your blessings upon all that's said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.